Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you on this Sunday, the 11th of August. This is a broadcast of the Word of Grace, conveyed to you by the congregation and friends of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. Whether you're listening live or following a recording online, we're delighted to have you joining us on the airwaves or internet link of CJMQ Radio from the heart of the Eastern Townships. My name is Nigel Parker, and I have the privilege of being the minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. Last week I opened with words from Psalm 84. Here are some more words. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, they will still be praising you.
Should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven? Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. Oh, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Oh, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches over me. Don't you know that I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. Don't you know?
Let us pray. Our gracious God, in love you open wide the doors of your presence and welcome us into your presence, saints and sinners alike. You spread a table before us filled with the richest of fare, a feast of love and mercy for the body and soul. We come with joy to meet with you this morning, to taste and see your goodness, to celebrate your grace and mercy in our lives, especially that which has dawned upon us through your Son, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. May your Spirit inspire our praise and thanksgiving, our prayers and petitions as you welcome us into your presence. You prepare a table before us, but we admit, gracious God, that we fail to assure that our neighbours at home and abroad will not go hungry. We confess, gracious God, our struggles to trust in your abundance. We acknowledge, gracious God, our silence when we should have spoken, our passivity when we should have acted. In remorse, regret, and with sorrow, we confess our sin before the Lord our God, who so generously offers mercy, forgiveness, and renewal in our relationships. All praise to God, whose tender love offers relief from the burden of sin and remorse, and who in Jesus Christ grants us freedom in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, active in our lives and in all our relationships. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Our reading this morning, Psalm 122. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, "Peace be within you." For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Amen.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. You shall see the face of God and live. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you
before the power of heaven.
Have you ever been hurt by the church? Let down by a community of faith? Been disappointed by those of whom you had higher expectations? Keep listening, because we're going to touch base with those feelings this morning. If you are a regular listener to this broadcast, you'll recognise that we're using the same reading as we did last week, Psalm 122. In these weeks, we're on a journey, a pilgrim's progress. If you were a pious Jew, you would make your pilgrim way to Jerusalem for worship up to 3 times a year for festivals, harvest, Passover, shelters. But if you're on a road trip, then you need some music for the journey. And we're looking at psalms that were sung as people went up the road to Jerusalem, the songs of the ascents. Mountaineering songs, if you like. We started in Psalm 120, went on through Psalm 121, and now here we are in Psalm 122. Last week we found the joy of the psalmist as he found a welcome in the house of God. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem." Like a prodigal returning home, he felt thrilled to be in a place from which he should be excluded. The temple was God's dwelling place, and yet it was a place he was welcome to. He thought there might be a no-entry sign, but it was a welcome home sign. Even the sparrow finds a nest here. Here was grace to help. More than the place, he met the people. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord, according to the statute given to Israel. Here's what Martin Luther said. Our Jerusalem is the church, and our temple is Christ. Wherever Christ is preached and the sacraments are rightly administered, there we are sure God dwells, and there is our temple, our tabernacle, our cherubim, and our mercy seat. For there God is present with us by his word. So when the psalmist here speaks of his love for Jerusalem, he is especially speaking of his passion for the people of God. Well, it all sounds so good, doesn't it? So upbeat, so positive. So what do you do when the church lets you down? Doesn't it seem odd that the psalmist switches from excitement for worship in verse 1 to a prayer for God's people? The mood of the psalm moves from joyful worship to heartfelt prayer. What do you do when the church lets you down? Some of you know exactly what we're talking about. If you've ever found yourself betrayed or let down or hurt by religious people or leaders, you've probably experienced your own fair share of what some refer to as post-traumatic church disorder. And maybe that's why you're listening to the radio rather than going to worship. Here are some words from an article in Christianity Today. a testimony from a couple who had a difficult experience. They wrote, "When we first walked through the doors of our new church, it was like coming home. We found a welcome, a chance of healing after losing a baby at a few days old, and an opportunity to find our vocation and purpose, as well as a community of fellow travellers. And for 5 years, that's what we had. We didn't realise then that it would also be the place that would almost destroy our faith completely. And it all started with the appointment of a new vicar. He seemed competent, visionary, and ready to take a growing and successful church to the next stage. We got on personally with him and felt part of the team. But one problem with success is that it often encourages a culture whereby those who cannot keep up are left behind. The gospel might offer hope to the perpetually broken, depressed, sad, and limping disciple, but for the church on a mission, they can become a hindrance to success. We found that the culture of the church started to shift and in ways that we struggled with." That's maybe not your story, but maybe you hear echoes of your story in there. Look at verses 6 to 9 of Psalm 122. "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Notice how the words peace and security are repeated 5 times in these verses. The word for peace is the Hebrew word shalom, that means welfare or safety and completeness. The Hebrew word for security means quietness, rest. The idea being communicated is a holistic peace, completeness and rest upon the people of Jerusalem. And our churches should be a place where the most damaged and even the most difficult people shouldn't only be welcomed but prioritised. And I wonder if a different measure of success in church is how welcoming we are to the most broken people in our society. What do verses 6 to 9 encourage us to do in a less than perfect church? Well, first point, fairly obviously, be prayerful. To pray for the church. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and the security within your towers. The church is God's plan A for working in the world. It's almost like he prefers losers, cast-offs and ne'er-do-wells. Like he's recruiting sinners, in fact. God is prioritizing broken people from broken situations to be his chosen emissaries to a broken world. Which means that as weird and messy as your church or mine may be, we are exactly suited to this weird and messy time. There's no other church than your church and mine to be the church to the people in your community and mine. There's no other people than your church and mine to be an outpost of heaven just where we are. The life of the church springs from the life of God himself. So let's be prayerful. Secondly, be positive. "For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you." If you're in a negative situation, decide that you will be a positive influence. Focus on the positive in all situations, not the negative. Expect a positive outcome when dealing with problems. Concentrate on solutions rather than problems. Look for lessons in the mistakes and successes of others as well as your own. Take a can-do approach to new challenges. Take the initiative in all situations. Take a proactive approach to all aspects of your life. Turn bad situations into teachable moments. Provide calm and reason in the middle of the storms of life that inevitably arise. Be positive. Be prayerful, be positive. Thirdly, be participative. Verse 9, "For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Commit yourself to the people of God, which is way more about responsibility than privilege. It's a way of saying, I'm a believer who is here to pull my weight in this family and I'm going all in. And part of membership is not just attending the Sunday gathering, but being in a small group or some other gathering through the week. Get involved in the ministry of your church by serving others, volunteering. Pastors are to equip people for ministry, but the ministry belongs to every member. And own the mission. The Great Commission is the priority for all our congregations. And any church that turns inwardly and focuses on meeting all the needs of believers while reducing the energy formerly invested into reaching those outside the faith has already begun dying. be prayerful, be positive, be participative. The church is God's plan A for the world, and we can't just write it off and search around for some other plan B because there isn't one. Instead, the problems of the church should be a provocation for our self-reflection, an opportunity to ask, how could my church do better in situations like this? And what can I practically do to be part of the solution?
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ the Lord.
Let's turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for you are the giver of honour and grace, and we're eager for your presence with us. The heavens and the earth cannot contain you, for you created them and you hold them in your hand. Yet you dwell among your people and allow even the birds of the air to nest in your courts and honour you with their song. You have sent your Holy One, Jesus Christ, to speak to us your word of spirit and life. And though the forces of evil and death consumed him, he rose from the grave, proclaiming your gospel of peace. And now he nourishes us for eternal life and arms us with truth, righteousness and salvation, that we might stand firm against corrupt spiritual powers that would tear down all who seek you with integrity. Father God, you desire peace and unity and encouragement for your people, the church. Help us, Lord, to pursue what makes for peace and for building one another up, to pursue these things, that you will lead us to peace and unity. Give us discerning hearts to know your will, and give us the courage to be obedient. Lord, we know that without you and your Holy Spirit indwelling each of us, we cannot do any of these things, but with you and for your glory. Grant our body peace and unity. Lord, what the enemy means for evil against our church life and body, we believe you can use for good. Remind our hearts of this. When we're being attacked and crushed from all sides, remind us of your faithfulness to use everything for your good and your glory. May we not fear, but trust in your provision for our church family. May we not only be readers of your word, but believers and doers. Increase our faith, Lord. And hear us now as further we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.